Welcome back to our study of Joshua. We are in chapter 3, and we're going to pick up with verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.
Well, he tells the people to sanctify themselves, to cleanse themselves in preparations for the wonders that the Lord's going to do the following day. Sanctifies this. You set something apart, or you consecrate something, okay? So he's telling them, all right, you cleanse yourself in preparation. You set yourself apart. Get your mind off you, get your mind on the Lord. If you're on a mission now, so stay focused.
And Joshua spoke unto the priests, saying, Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people.
And so the priests, obviously the ones carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and so Joshua's telling them, all right, it's time to pick it up. Pick up the Ark of the Covenant, and you go on before the people.
And in verse 7.
You see the principle in here. Ministers of God leading the people of God. Okay.
And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee.
Now you have to understand this. This is not to, play on Joshua's ego or give him a big head or anything like that. It's really an encouragement to him that I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. Now, today, you'll be exalted in the eyes of all Israel. So, here's the reason. They'll know God is with you just as they knew God was with Moses. That's what this is all about. They're going to recognize this is not the result of a man appointing a man. This is God, a God appointed man, and God is with him to affirm that. So Israel's going to see that today.
And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, When you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan.
Now, this is interesting because this is a different way. It's not like the crossing of the Red Sea. So God gave Joshua the procedure for crossing Jordan. Not stretching out a rod. But this time, the ministers have to get their feet wet. Now I want you to think about it. Those carrying the presence of God step into a flooding river because Jordan's at flood stage at this particular time. And so this is the procedure. It's totally different than crossing the Red Sea. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that, and to me it speaks volumes to me concerning those who's carrying the presence of God. You go before, and that should be the ministers, the leaders of churches or whatever. You go before the people. You get your feet wet first. You go in there first. You want them to go that way? Then show them that you're not afraid. That you'll follow the lead of God.
And thou shalt command the priests, verse 8, thank you, that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan.
So he's saying, Joshua's telling these priests, now you got to appreciate this. They have to submit to his command in order for this to be accomplished. They have to trust his judgment as being what God said, okay? And so he's telling them, you go to the river, and here again, it's a flood stage. You get in, and as soon as you get in there, all the priests that are carrying the ark, you get in there and you get established, then these waters are going to part and the people are going to walk over on dry land. They've never done it this way before. You with me? And to me, there's so many things here that we can learn that all the way through, God doesn't do everything the same way. He just does everything with excellence, okay? And so we can't follow the patterns of men. We must be led by the Spirit of God. Because it worked for them, this church or this minister, doesn't mean it works for you. You have to be faithful to what God's called you to do. You follow me? And so they're going to have to do exactly what God says through the mouth of Joshua in order to see these supernatural results. Okay?
Verse 9, "And Joshua came unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God."
So Joshua's just, he's heard from God, so he's telling these Israelites what God has said. He's just sharing what God said. Now here's the key. God has not called any of us to preach sermons. He's called us to say what he says. Well, you have to hear what he says first. How can you say what he says if you haven't heard what God said? Then you're not a messenger of God. And we're to be messengers of God. And actually, that's what you're looking at in the second, third chapter of the Revelation, the seven churches. It should be unto the messenger of the church write these things. Okay? What's the messenger of the church? The one who gives the church the message of God. You with me? So, he's hearing what God said. He's telling the people what God said. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the divine principle, okay?
"And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites."
So if you look at this, Joshua is announcing what's going to take place before it takes place. The priests are going to step in the water. The water's going to part. Everybody's going to go over on dry land, and we're going to get into this place that God has promised us, this land of Cana, as we call it, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and Jebusites. You're going to get their land. He is announcing this before it ever occurs. Okay? Which is interesting, in Amos, the third chapter, says God doesn't do anything without he first announces it through his servants, the prophets. God says it before it comes to pass. When it comes to pass, you'll know it wasn't an afterthought. It was a forethought. And so many things you're hearing today, people are saying things and then they're trying to match this and that. And then they're taking an afterthought instead of a forethought. You hear God first. Then you declare what God says. And then you see what God says come to pass.
Good. "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan."
Now, to me, it's just saying the presence of God is going to go ahead of you. Because the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord represents the presence of God, okay? So the presence of God is going before you. God's not telling you to go into a land and hang you out to dry. God's going to go into that land before you. He'll be there before you get there, okay?
"Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man."
So here, pick a man from inner tribe, and this man has an assignment. He's going out of the bed of that river. Each one's going to pick up a stone, put it on his shoulder, carry it out to the other side, and they're going to build a memorial for the Lord.
And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap.
So basically telling him how it's going to happen to a degree, the waters that are coming from upstream are going to stand up as a heap. Okay? And then, obviously, the others are drained out. The people are going to go over on dry ground. But the priests are going to have to go in the water first before this occurs.
And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. Let me keep going.
Go ahead.
And as they...
Read through verse 17.
And thank you. And as they that bear the ark were come upon unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan.
So the words that Joshua spoke to the people that God had given him came to pass just as he had spoken. The priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant went before the people. They carried the Ark of the Covenant into the waters of Jordan River. And then this phenomenon occurred at the time of harvest, when this Jordan River was at flood stage. And when the feet of the priest went in, the ones bearing the Ark of the Covenant, when they entered into the edge of the waters and they got a set, then the waters flowing from upstream. Now, I want you to listen to this. It says they stood and rose up in a heap as far away as the city of Adam. It's almost like you have a water dam. Not a dam of water, but the water itself being a dam. It's not flowing. It's just standing there in a heap. And then he identifies Adam as a city in Palestine near Zaratan. And the waters that normally flowed from the plain into the salt sea, they're cut off. And so now it's going to give a people passage to go through. So the nation of Israel crossed the Jordan River opposite or in front of Jericho. And the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on, note this, dry ground. Isn't that amazing? They walked in the water, but they're standing firm on dry ground until the entire nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan River. Now, here's another thing I look at. That Ark of the Covenant was not a light thing. You understand? I mean, there's an ark overlaid with gold, has tables of stones in it with the covenant. You think about what's in the covenant, and the ark with the manna. The bowl of manna and also Aaron's rod. So these men are standing there for a long time because they have an army, you know, 600,000 people plus all the women and children and everything they own. And so the priests are standing there holding that Ark of the Covenant for a while. So all these movies you see, these wimpy little priests, that won't hold water. You understand, these guys had to be strong in order to stand there for that long. You understand, we're talking about hours. They didn't fly across. They walked across.
I have a note written down that may resonate with some of you. You're carrying God. Is God going to let his carrier fall? To think about.
Yeah, we're carriers of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a message in and of itself.
Yes. Chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place, where ye shall lodge in this night.
Now, we know that this is a reiteration, okay? These 12 men have been selected. You go in, and you get the rocks, the stones, out of that riverbed, if you will, and carry them over. You know, this is where the priests were standing. You get rocks. I'm not talking about out from under the feet of them, but in the riverbed itself is what he's talking about. And then you carry these stones into the camp. And they did that, and the stones were there at the time that this writing occurred.
Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel.
Now listen to the wording of this. He didn't say a pebble. Mm-hmm. This rock is big enough you have to carry it on your shoulder. Okay? And so they're pretty significant rocks, and what they're going to do is build this monument there as a memorial of what the Lord has done for the nation of Israel. Okay?
That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean you by these stones?
So the whole purpose of setting those stones up is for future generations. What are these? Well, let me tell you about these. Those stones came out of the Jordan River. Let me tell you how they came out of there. God dried that river up. And men went in the riverbed and took those stones and set them up. And when the priest came out of there, the water ran back and the river was at flood stage. God did a supernatural miracle. That's the testimony of this memorial that they made. Okay?
Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever.
So I got ahead of you then.
That's okay. I'm going to keep going. Right. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spoke unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there.
So what you see here is the people submitting to the leadership of Joshua. Joshua's given the command, they follow in the command. Now they've already seen this man has God operating through him. I mean, if he told us what was going to happen, it came to be, whatever he said. And so he's getting honor in the sight of the people. Are you with me? So he's establishing his leadership as a God-ordained leadership. Okay?
Verse 9, And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day.
The writing of the book is what he's talking about, okay?
Verse 10, For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over.
Let me make something clear. The stones were not set up in the river. The stones were taken out of the river and set up where they set up camp. That's where the memorial was, okay? And so they did everything that God commanded, and these people got across in a hurry. But even in a hurry, there's a lot of people to cross that river.
Mm-hmm. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over and the priest in the presence of the Lord.
Notice there, everybody passes over, but the priests are still standing there. Once everything is accomplished that God has told Joshua to do, the stones taken out and all this, then the priests walk out of the riverbed, and when they get securely on the dry land, the waters come back into flood stage and Jordan's running like it normally would.
And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed for the children of Israel, as Moses spoke unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho.
So here you have 40,000 troops out of Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh ready for battle.
Yeah.
You understand? They're prepared. They're fully armed. And they were fulfilling the mandate of Moses. They're staying true to it. They had to go over and help their brothers. So they're there. They're prepared for war. And they're getting ready to engage the enemy, okay? Now, this is just the 2.5 tribes, the 40,000. There's a lot more in the army than that, okay, when you take the other tribes with that.
On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life.
So, when they crossed over, God caused Joshua to be honored and revered by the people like his predecessor Moses. And this respect for him continued as long as he lived. He's pretty good, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He earned the respect of the people. How? By obeying God and God establishing his word that Joshua had declared. Okay.
And the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, you may keep reading.
Verse 15.
Yeah. And the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, okay. Keep going. Command the priests that bear the Ark of the Testimony that they come out of Jordan.
We'll read through 18.
Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and their souls and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before.
And so when Joshua instructed the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant to come out of the Jordan River, they came out safely on shore. The waters of the Jordan River returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as it was before in flood stage, okay? And so the Israelites crossed over the river on dry ground, and then the river became wet ground. Became a river again, right?
Yeah. And the people came out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho.
The 10th day of the first month. Any significance to that?
Mm-hmm.
That was the day you took the Passover lamb, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And put it up and checked it to see if it had any blemish in it. And then on the 14th day, which was Passover, is when that lamb was killed, right?
Yes.
So I find it interesting that they go over on the 10th day of the month because there's something they have to do before they engage in battle.
Good. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal.
Note that they're placed in Gilgal. I was telling you where the camp was set up, okay?
Mm-hmm. And he spoke unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us, from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever.
Now you think about it, any memorial, if you're not familiar with it, it's going to provoke questions, right? Mm-hmm. What is that? Well, this is what these stones would do. And where he had set this up, inevitably it would provoke the Israelites to ask about the significance of these stones that had been set up. And it was actually a teaching tool to where they could teach about the faithfulness and the power of God to the Israelites. And so this generation of Israelites witnessed the parting of the Jordan River, crossed over on dry ground, just as the previous generation witnessed the parting of the Red Sea and crossed it on dry land. Now they have a memorial. So these stones are serving as a testimony, as a witness to all the people on earth of God's power, and a reminder for the people of God to fear him. Anybody else walking through there, you know, boy, this is the power of God here. And then the people of Israel recognize that it's the power of God working in their behalf. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel.
So all these kings of the Amorites, west of the Jordan River, the Canaanites, all their kings, that they lived by the sea, and all they heard what the Lord had done to the Jordan River, just like he had done to the Red Sea, so the Israelites could cross over. When these kings heard the news of this phenomenon, they were extremely fearful and lost courage. You understand, God's fighting for them, if you will. This is not just about natural, going up against a natural army or natural soldiers. This is about God fighting for these natural people.
If God's for you, who can be against you, right? At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins.
Now we said something had to take place, right? Now, I'm going to get ahead of you and you can catch up with me, okay?
Yes, sir.
Because we're right in the middle of this. So after they cross the Jordan, God says, all right, don't you go against the enemy until you get in covenant with me.
Yeah.
All those who came out of Egypt, the males who came out of Egypt, had been circumcised. That was the seal of the covenant. Well, those, they died off in the wilderness 40 years. Well, the ones who were born, the males who were born during that period of time, were not circumcised. So they're not in covenant with God. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so these men, you know, that died for 40 years was because of their disobedience to God. Okay? Now, these descendants have to be circumcised. You with me? Now, to me, there's a lot of message in it. Circumcision is the seal of the covenant, of the Abrahamic covenant. And so if you want God to honor his covenant with you, you have to honor the other side of that covenant. And so circumcision was a way that they honored God. Okay? And so God says, all right, right here in this camp, you've crossed the Jordan. Get in covenant with me. Get in covenant with me before you engage in battle. You with me? Stay in covenant with God. Mm-hmm. Don't try to go against the enemy on your own. You want the Lord to fight for you? Then you better stay in covenant with God.
Let me catch up with you.
Okay.
And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole.
Okay. Now, he tells us that the reason the army died in the wilderness that 40 years, that previous army, was because of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then Joshua did what God told him to do and had all these males circumcised, and Israel didn't break camp until all the men who had been circumcised were healed.
Yeah.
You don't go into battle sore, you understand. They had to be healed. And so after all these males are circumcised, God spoke to Joshua and he said, all right, the disgrace of Egypt has been removed from them. And so they called the name of that place where they were staying Gilgal, which means to roll. The reproach has been rolled off of you. And so they stayed there. The Israelites stayed there in Gilgal. They camped there and observed the Passover in the plains of Jericho on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. You see that? Okay.
Let me read it. Verse 9, And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Verse 10, And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho.
All right.
Now.
Following protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Verse 11.
Okay.
And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day.
So they go into this promised land where God said you'll live in houses that you didn't build, you'll eat crops you didn't plant, and vineyards you didn't plant. They cross the Jordan, and what do? After the day after this Passover, what are they doing? They're eating the produce of the land with unleavened bread and parched grain.
And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan.
Once God took them to that place that he had promised, to where they could eat of the fruit of the land, then he stopped the manna coming from heaven. And so they continued to eat what their enemy had planted. You understand? They're eating the fruit of the land. God's faithfulness to feed them all that 40 years. But when they got into where God promised, now they experience in the reality the truth of God's Word. And you think about it, that's a large crowd, and there was enough crops and food and all to feed all them. Pretty remarkable when you think about it.
And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries?
This is a real interesting thing to me. Here you go over. Now here's the leader, Joshua. He's a military man. He sees a guy with a sword drawn in his hand. He doesn't run from him. He approaches him. Mm-hmm. Are you for the Israelites or are you an enemy of the Israelites? And he said, not. Neither one. No. I am the captain of the Lord's host. And our time's up. We're going to have to stop there and we'll pick back up with this, okay?
Man.
Go ahead and read it. You won't stand in suspense, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us. You give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend.